You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Friday night, which means Elliot Serrano is prepared and ready for anything and everything we're going to discuss tonight. Elliot, I have good news, though.
Yes.
We're going to talk to Susan Danenberger at 11:35.
Oh, thank you.
And what wine she would pair with the Netflix series Glow.
Awesome. Yes.
Yes. And around that, and then we're going to play What's That From later.
Oh, great.
And then we're going to talk a lot of politics.
Okay. True story. I am not making this up.
Yes.
All right. This past week, in preparation for being on tonight's show,
yes,
my subconscious was playing with me, and my dreams were invaded by one Dave Lundy.
Oh,
Dave Lundy was in my dreams, and I was like, he was kind of like consoling me. All right, so what do? I tell Dave, you're my political security blanket. And what does he say? I'm not talking to you because you like Jar Jar Binks. Yes, he disowned me over Jar Jar Binks.
Let's put that on a shelf for a little bit with the elf, and discuss that later. Because I have issues with that as well.
All right.
And perhaps our guest has issues with that, but first we want to learn more about him. When attorney Lisa Madigan announced that she would not be running for another term as attorney general, the field quickly filled up. We had Representative Scott Drury jumping in, Senator Raul Kwame, I believe the mayor of Highland Park, Nancy Rottering. We also have Erica Harold has jumped into the race. And a name that's familiar to me, but only because I have a relative with the same name, so that's kind of awkward for everybody. But we have in studio with us a gentleman who is running for attorney general. He is the former vice president of the board of Chicago's Board of Education, is an ex-CPS board member in general. He's also the president of the Chicago Park District, and I asked him earlier if that includes beaches and pools, and he looked at me like, well, why wouldn't it? We have in studio with us attorney general candidate Jesse Ruiz.
And thank you very much.
I am so thrilled to have you in studio tonight, sir.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for making the time. You were born in Chicago in a community that sees a lot of violence. You grew up in Roseland.
I grew up in Roseland. I was actually born in Oak Lawn, Illinois, at Christ Hospital, but I grew up in Roseland.
We weren't going to track all of that, but I appreciate the clarification. No, that's, so growing up in Roseland, though, what was it like when you were a kid? Was it as bad as it is that we see on the news now?
It was different. It was different in the late 60s, early 70s. It was, amazingly, Michigan Avenue from about 103rd to 119th was one of the most vibrant commercial districts in the city of Chicago. And to my understanding, second only to State Street. The Mag Mile wasn't what it is today in terms of generating tax revenue for the city of Chicago. It was a great, great area. And it's changed. And unfortunately, a lot of the employers that were there, large employers, like I remember the Rockwell International plant on 119th, the Electromotive plant on 103rd, the Pullman Rail Car Factory on 111th, the Sherwin-Williams plant on 115th.
Wow.
Those are gone. Globalization and changing world economy took those jobs elsewhere.
And the communities never were really able to find a way to compensate for that. Continue to struggle with it.
They're still looking. I mean, yeah. There's been a lot of investment by the city recently in the Pullman neighborhood on 111th Street. So now there's a Method factory there. There's a new shopping center that I actually worked at the Ryerson Steel plant that replaced that Pullman rail car factory at 111th in between undergrad and law school, and I was a steel salesman. And so I worked right near home at 720 East 111th Street, and that's now a retail strip. The Ryerson and those great jobs that paid great middle-class wages are gone.
Yeah, and it is hard for the state of Illinois to sort of figure all of that out. What drew you to the legal profession?
Well, the fact that you can not only do great work for clients and earn a living and provide for your family, you can do great work for your community. And you can give those services away. You can do pro bono work. And so I've done that throughout my entire legal career. I've helped form nonprofits that for all the Latino legislators in Springfield, and they've given away dozens and dozens of scholarships over the years. So it's been great to help them do that. I've helped local artists form nonprofits that raise lots of money for CPS, for example, and I've also helped students obtain DACA status, help people save their homes. So I've been able to do a lot of great work and take the skills and serve on public bodies like the school board, the State Board of Education, the Character and Fitness Committee of the Illinois Bar, and do a number of things throughout that private law practice career.
When you say help people save their homes, was that in particular after the sort of crash and the
actually
bust?
It was before that. It was
even
actually
before
one,
that.
One particular case where a woman who had gone through a divorce and the home was still maintained by both now divorced husband and wife, and the husband was going through a bankruptcy, mm-hmm. and because they hadn't done the split of the property properly, she was going to be at risk of losing her house that she was living in. And so I had to go in there and rectify it in bankruptcy court and then redo the settlement of the divorce and help her save her home.
So you see on the consumer side of what people go through when, you know, sort of like whether or not, you know, the way the banks or the corporations have the advantage over people who just are doing their best to
right.
stay afloat.
I mean, she was paying her fair share of the
right.
home. Her husband did not, and honor his commitment, and she was going to suffer. And so it had to be reapportioned, and we worked it out, thankfully. But, you know, she would have been put out on the street. So I was glad that, you know, the skills I used to help paying clients were able to help that woman who couldn't afford legal services at that time.
Because one of the things that I understand the Attorney General's job is in the state of Illinois is consumer protection.
It's a big part of the job, yes.
And because people really don't know what the Attorney General does. Can you tell us a little bit about that office?
Sure. It does protect consumers, and there is a big portion of that, consumer fraud, and making sure that if there's harmful products, people get protected. If our privacy is being compromised, like in the Equifax case currently, that we go after and make sure we protect people's privacy, but also healthcare fraud. Now, there's suits that Lisa Madigan's bringing against drug companies who are trying mm-hmm. to collude, artificially raise drug prices, also hurting consumers, but also making sure that there's other parts of the office that ensure that we have open, honest, and transparent government, to make sure that there's no healthcare fraud, that also that there's now a suit pending against the city of Chicago with regard to the Justice Department report that, frankly, the Obama Justice Department initiated post Laquan McDonald shooting, and the Sessions Justice Department, you know, stopped pursuing. And so Lisa Madigan picked up that baton and made sure that there would hopefully be a consent decree with the city of Chicago to help transform the culture of the Chicago Police Department to better serve and help all of us. I mean, there's some great police officers on the beat, thank God, that serve and protect us every day. But there is some cultural changes that will make the relationship between community and police even better.
We are talking to Jesse Ruiz. He is the president of the Chicago Park District's, and he is part of the law firm. What's the name of the law firm you're with?
Drinker, Biddle, and Reith.
Those guys. Those
yes.
folks.
Yes.
Those ladies and gentlemen. And he is running for Attorney General. If you have a question, let us know. 312-981-7200. This will be your only opportunity for quite a while to talk directly to somebody who is running for a high office in the state of Illinois, one of the most important jobs as far as our citizens are involved. And we want to talk to him more about that when we come back. Our number is 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. You can call or text us, and we'd love to hear from you. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is our sidecar tonight, every Friday night, Elliot Serrano, unless he just can't take it anymore and he stays home and listens to us and then just calls in, which is fun. That worked out very well last week, Elliot. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Elliot, your folks were born in Puerto Rico?
Yes. Yes,
and you speak Spanish fluently?
I wouldn't say fluently, but I understand it very well, and I grew up in a Spanish-speaking household. Yes,
And I don't speak Spanish. Our guest Attorney General candidate Jesse Ruiz joins us. Your folks are also from another country. Where are they from? Hold one second. Where are they from?
From Mexico.
And do you speak Spanish fluently?
I do.
Okay, then show offs. Both of you, show offs. That's all I want to say right now.
He found my Jar Jar Binks story amusing.
Okay, some other time. Some other time. Maybe we'll let him stay later if he wants to stay with us. We can address that more. I struggled when Donald Trump said he was going to run for the president of the United States with his opening statements in declaring his candidacy. Were a lot of remarks directed towards people who came here from Mexico specifically, not thinly anything, that they just send rapists and drug dealers. And I was like, hey, my mom said, I said, Mom, he said that he sends all the rapists. And she goes, I never raped anyone. But what were your thoughts when you heard that speech?
I was pretty upset because, I always look up to my parents as folks who gave up a lot of they gave up their home to make sure that their children could have a better life and better opportunities than they had. And so that's giving up a lot. And coming here and adopting this country and trying to earn their right as Americans. And they eventually did become citizens of the United States after being here for 40 years. But my dad came here as a migrant farm worker. The United States government actually recruited Mexicans during World War II during the Bracero program, 42 to 64. And so he came in 43, picked crops all over the Pacific Northwest. I think it was Oregon, Utah, Idaho, and then Wisconsin, and then eventually Mendota, Illinois, where he picked corn. And the man was, you know, 96 years old when he passed and could remember every minute of what he picked. And I'd ask him, how do you remember all this stuff, all those so many years later? And he's like, if you'd done that backbreaking work in that hot sun for that many hours, you'd never forget a minute of it.
Wow.
And he was, you know, no joking, just a deadpan statement. And this is what, you know, these immigrants that I know did.
Right.
Did for me, did for our country, did for our community, and volunteered in Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Little League. So I was highly offended by that, and that's one of the motivations for me to run for attorney general, so I could stand up to guys like Donald Trump and protect him when he attacks the next group. It's Mexicans that day on June 16, 2015, but it's been women, it's been Muslims. You know, now it's graduate students in their tax plan that they want to tax for income, supposed income on classes that they don't even get cash to pay for. So
what, and I don't know if this is the attorney general's purview. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm trying to think if there are other needs for giving a fetus a social security number. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I mean, I guess if you have a fetus with a social security number, I guess they can also apply for other social services. So that's interesting. I don't think that they really thought that whole thing through.
Well,
I'm just saying.
It's ironic that you know, he decries Mexicans and decries, you know, supposed illegals or undocumented people, but yet we will give them an I-10 because, well, if you're here, let's collect your taxes.
Yes.
So,
well, there you go. Maybe we're collecting taxes on fetuses.
Possibly.
They're documenting fetuses is all I'm saying.
It's bizarre.
Very strange world.
And so I look forward to standing up to somebody like him, hopefully not for long. But that is one of the motivations for his attacks, to make sure that, you know, we see on the travel ban. It's attorney generals of Hawaii and Washington State who stood up and helped protect all of our rights.
I have to ask you then, when we talk about standing up to people, because what a lot of Illinoisans see as a barrier right now, and Governor Rauner has made an entire career of 3 years as governor of actually literally saying he has not had control of the state, that there's somebody else that does. What responsibility? Because people have thought, well, because Lisa Madigan has been in office, that's why nothing has happened. But it's not the attorney general's job to go after that sort of power or to even prosecute anything that people think is there. Is it?
Well, if there's a crime, I'm sure she would prosecute it and root it out. And, you know, through the Open Meetings Act, the Freedom of Information Act, it is their job, the attorney general's job, to make sure there's open and honest and transparent government and call it out wherever it is. I'm not aware of any cases where the attorney general has shirked that responsibility. But there are limited powers that it has, and some of those powers and prosecution capabilities also belong to the U.S. attorney as well as the state's attorney. But I look forward to continuing that work and enhancing any powers that might be necessary. I've never shied away from calling out wrongdoing in government when I've seen it, and, you know, done it even recently. And so that's something I look forward to doing as attorney general.
When you say you've done it recently, are there any specific instances you can share with us, and perhaps in regards to breaking news today?
You know, I did call for the resignation of Forrest Claypool. I thought that the examples he set and the ethical lapse that he set in misleading the inspector general was not the standard we want to set for our leadership, particularly the leadership of the third largest school district in America. And when I was on the board, I raised the apparent conflict issue that I saw coming back in August of 2015 and told an ethics officer about it. I left the board shortly thereafter, but it's one of the things that kind of started this ball rolling and unfortunately led to this unfortunate series of circumstances that led to the inspector general's investigation in the first place.
So strange. The mayor came out yesterday doubling down in his support for Forrest Claypool, saying, well, he's admitted to it. What he's admitting to, or what he's been accused of and they've found to be true, is that he lied under investigation. He lied about getting someone in, an attorney, to sort of work on his side of things when it came to policy within the city of Chicago education.
Opinion shopping.
It was opinion shopping.
You know, again, a whole series of things that wasn't necessary in my estimation, and that's why I raised it. It's unfortunate that we got to this point, and I understand the loyalty to a friend, But when that person has, you know, not been able to uphold ethical standards that we require of all public officials, there has to be consequences. And that doesn't, you know, mean that you don't acknowledge all the great work that they've done and all the great work they've yet to do. But there's got to be a consequence. And I'm glad that Forrest took responsibility, chose to resign, and now the district can move forward. It's doing great work. They've done a lot of great work there in the years I was there and afterwards, and will continue to do great work. And I know Dr. Janice Jackson will do a great job in continuing to lead that effort there. And I have all full faith and confidence in her. But we shouldn't let these things distract from that great work.
We've been talking to Jesse Ruiz, who is running for Attorney General for the state of Illinois. Before you go, I do want to ask about that. The fact that a lot of people south of Chicago, north of Chicago, outside the Chicagoland area, are suspicious of Chicago politicians, of people who have grown up in the city, and what do they know about the rest of the state? How would they represent them? What do you have to say to all the people of the state of Illinois if you are elected Attorney General?
Sure. Well, I was honored to serve as chairman of the State Board of Education for almost 7 years, from 2004 to 2011, and I had the opportunity to travel around the state and hold State Board of Education meetings in different parts of the state, far southern Illinois, and be in Carbondale and Caro and Grafton and Belleville, Illinois, and go out to College of DuPage and in Danville. And in my campaign now, I'm making more travels to different parts of the state as well, and had the honor and privilege of earning my undergraduate degree down in Champaign, Illinois. So lived in east central Illinois. I was in Garner.
Okay, Garner, I was in Allen Hall. I'm sorry.
Garner 200.
Remember
it's no longer there, yeah. Unfortunately.
The six pack?
It was a part of the six pack.
Yeah.
I quad with three of my boyhood friends.
Oh, wow.
It was an interesting time in Champaign.
I'll bet.
So I've had the privilege of living down in East Central Illinois, have great relationships all over the state. But more to learn and more to be aware of. And so I look forward to traveling the state and talking to more of my fellow Illinoisans and letting them know how I will represent them, mm-hmm. and advocate for them as Attorney General.
How can people find out more information about you?
JesseForIllinois.com.
JesseForIllinois.com. I look forward to seeing your name on the ballot, not just because you have the same name as my brother. It's just weird to me, but that's funny. congratulations on all your hard work.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing how this campaign, how this election turns out. The primaries are next. Is it next spring?
March 20th.
March 20th. It's not that far away.
No.
All right. Jesse Ruiz. Go to JesseForIllinois.com. JesseForIllinois.com. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you.
Anytime. And now we have to take a selfie. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, I was going to say co-creator, only because if it's on my show, I think I'm also co-creator. But I think you came up with the idea. You were the inspiration. Behind, what is it now? Binge and Uncork?
That's been the hashtag Binge and Uncork.
Yes, but
I think it makes more
uncork
sense
and
to call
binge.
It Uncork and Binge. So it's like, are you binging on wine or are you binging on a show? There's that double meaning there.
Susan, what do you think? We have Susan Dannenberger on the line with us. She is the incredible winemaker at one of Illinois' most highly acclaimed vineyards at 12341 Irish Road, New Berlin. I think because, Susan, you...
I think we're going to have to ask the listeners which hashtag it should be.
Well, I guess, is it that you open the bottle of wine and then you binge? Or do you binge and need a bottle of wine? Or are they simultaneously, I guess it's all that stuff. I think you would open the bottle of wine before you start the show. So I think that Elliot might be right, that the uncorking comes first, and then you binge. What do you think, Susan?
I would say normally, yes. Lately, I've been watching the show a little bit before I figure out what wine I want to open.
No, well, there's that technical,
but,
yeah.
Yes,
there's
but a technical what mood there. Does this put me in? Yeah.
Wow.
But normally I just open a bottle and what do I want to watch?
You got it backwards.
That's the beauty of working with us is that we tell you what to watch. I kind of feel at some point.
I know.
At some point.
It's been an adventure.
Well,
a big adventure.
So far we have done Orange is the New Black, Ozark, Master of None, Punisher. Am I missing any yet?
No, I think we've covered
I think that's
of that.
Almost everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then my assignment was one that I had seen the entire series for, and because I really thought we needed to lighten this up a little bit. And I went with the series Glow. Again, another series on Netflix. We will move around a little bit, but right now we're at Netflix. So for those who are not familiar, GLOW is a rather humorously depicted version. I would say sort of a, not documentary, but a biopic, would you say, Elliot, of the glamorous, gorgeous ladies of wrestling?
Yeah, what is it with biopic. What is it when it's like a...
It's a period piece.
Period piece, not a
Definitely.
Mockumentary.
No.
But no, because it's like recreating that time, the period. Right, you're right.
And it's based on a lot of the real characters.
Right.
As far as I know, most of them. Were you familiar, Susan, with the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling before you started watching this series?
No, I'm usually pretty familiar with a lot of the series, and I had not heard of this, but I will say that my world was not as colorful until this week. I just was... It was a fun week. I don't remember my life being that fun in the 1980s. I wish it would have been.
It was
pretty cool.
They're very adventurous, these women, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
Because I had no idea. I'm not a big fan of wrestling. A lot of my friends in the 80s were. So, I mean, Elliot, you know more about wrestling than I do.
Yeah.
You know about all the different characters. They have
right.
the face, the heel, all these are. All these different characters. What are the other elements of wrestling?
You have baby faces, you have heels, you have managers, you have valets, you have the promoters, you have even the announcers are characters too. So if you watched the WWF, WWF then, or NWA, even the announcers were characters that helped propel storylines. So it's as you say, soap opera. It's soap opera with muscles.
Yes.
So you know, if you ever wondered why do people get so much into pro wrestling, it's because it's essentially a soap opera, and and the thing about Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, Susan, I'm sure you saw that they were trying to put on a high budget show on very little money. You know, they were trying to do something while the WWF and the NWA and all those were doing their thing. They were trying to come out and put something to compete, but with women, not, you know, because women weren't that prevalent in wrestling back then.
It's amazing. So the beginning of the series, and we're going to take a break in a moment, and anyone who wants to join our conversation, give your thoughts about some of the wines you've tried from the Dannenberger Family Vineyards, available at many of the binnies in our listening area and online at DFV Wines. It's dfvwines.com. I should have all this information in front of me. And you know, let us know what you think of either GLOW, which I think is it's funny. There's a world I'd never really thought much about. Didn't know anything in regards to what it took to become a professional wrestler. This is all about casting.
Yeah, and it has Alison Brie like buff. I mean,
who's Alison Brie?
She's a star. She was from Community. She was the cute, perky brunette in Community who I had a total crush on. And when I heard she was going to be starring in this, and she looks different, you know, when you see her in this show, you're like, whoa, you know, so
look out
indeed.
What did you what were your first thoughts, Susan, when you, I mean, because it's, as you mentioned, it's a world that you weren't familiar with. What were your first impressions of the series?
I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. But then by the second, the first one was a little hard to get into. But then by the second one, I was completely enamored of, yeah, her character and just like what she was trying to do, her struggle with just life and just wanting to, like, I could see it as a woman now. You're trying to make something of yourself and you just are hitting all of these obstacles. It was very interesting, like in a man's world, you know, just acting. And then she moved into wrestling. It was still a bit of a struggle. I was loving the music.
Yes. I was surprised, too,
because the music,
it took me a little bit to get into it, too. And then I think part of it for me was I enjoyed the Marc Maron character. And I guess I kind of love the mistakes that she makes, too, whether it's with her best friend or even, you know.
Yeah.
She just, every time she tries so hard, she messes her life up even more. You know?
Man, I could relate
to that. I did love
the
idea of her. I know, right? Her best friend and she have this interesting dynamic all the way till the end, which you never know which way it's going to go. I thought that was
I could see wanting to beat the crap out of her in the ring. That's all I'm saying. I could see making those mistakes, and I could see pummeling her face on the mats. We are hanging with Susan Danenberger. We are talking about the series Glow. It is Uncork and Binge. We're going to try that this week. Uncork and Binge with the glamorous ladies, or gorgeous. Which one is it?
Gorgeous ladies.
The gorgeous ladies of wrestling, Glow, the series on Netflix. When we come back, we will find out which wine Susan Danenberger has paired for this week's Uncork and Binge. Again, go to dfvwines.com, and we'll find out what other great things are happening down in New Berlin when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our sidecar tonight, and the creator of Uncork and Binge, which is our weekly segment with Susan Danenberger and Danenberger Family Vineyards, because it is indeed time to wine and wind down. We have given her the assignment of watching the series Glow. And thank you so much, Susan, for pushing past the first episode, because there are a lot of times where I'll watch a series and it's got a lot of hype and everyone really loves it. And I see the first episode, I'm like, I don't know. And I do. Because I wouldn't have blamed you at all. By the way, Susan, yeah, you're not required. If in the first episode you go, this is not my jam, we're not going to make you spread that on a piece of toast. We just, you know what? Close that jar back up and be like, you know, and pick whatever wine you want.
You're mixing metaphors there.
I don't know. The jar of jam.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I did. I finished the whole series. I'm getting terrible with this. No, I'm getting great with this. I'm staying up and watching these. It's kind of fun. It's like I have to do it.
You need
I have
to live tweet these things.
Take one
now
for the team.
Something.
Well, your photo with the glass of wine.
It should be.
You could totally live tweet. We would follow that. And I love the photo you have with the glass of wine and the Glow logo behind the glass. It's beautiful. It's completely our logo for this. So tell us. Don't make us guess. What was the wine you paired with the gorgeous ladies of wrestling on Netflix?
Oh my gosh, my customers are going to be so shocked that I picked this. They really are, because I am a big dry red wine girl. And I picked Lumiere with this show. So first of all, Lumiere means, you know, light and lightness and glow, which is almost perfect. But, you know, that type of generation, the 80s, it was the California white Zinfandel era. And
because it was wine coolers and those two Bartles and James guys sitting on their porch.
Yeah. Did you see they were, I mean, she was drinking. One of the times she had like a big box wine in her refrigerator.
Yes.
She's like dumping wine into her glass from the wine box, and it was like, you know, the Franzia back then, so you couldn't do like a big California red or something with this. It had to be a sweet wine or a Zinfandel. So Lumiere, which is a sweet Riesling, we have, that is a customer favorite here. It's absolutely a customer favorite. It's really light bodied. It was that, and then I also did try one of our sweet rosés, Obsession, with it, which I liked. It was kind of like, you know, the white Zin, but I went back to the Lumiere, so that was the one that had to go with this. And then I actually ended up later in, like, one of the later shows where they're drinking bubbly out of the bottle, I tried mixing club soda with the Lumiere because I like a nice, you know, dry bubbly. And that kind of did it for me, too. So.
Ooh. I love it. So it's Lumiere.
That's kind of fun.
Lumiere or the sweet rosé.
Lumiere.
And the Lumiere is like a sweet Riesling. Oh, I'm so excited. We have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have to have another assignment. I don't know. I feel like I don't want to layer too much on during the holiday season, but let's see if Elliot has something prepared for Susan Danenberger from Danenberger Family Vineyards. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are on the line with Susan Danenberger, the extraordinary winemaker of the Danenberger Family Vineyards. You can go to dfvwine.com, and her incredible vineyards are down in New Berlin near Springfield at 12341 Irish Road. I love that it's Irish Road, Susan. It's such a great...
My dad named it.
I know. How great. And it's such a perfect time, too, for people to pick up their gifts for the holiday season. I know that you've got great bands. Plus, your band is coming up with you on next Friday. Which band do we have?
Yes. My favorite band, Smash Tag, is coming with me in your studio next Friday.
Smash Tag will be performing live in studio next Friday for our in-studio, I think, extravaganza with Susan Danenberger. She'll have an assignment. So now, Elliot, keep in mind that we've kept her pretty busy for the last 5 weeks.
We have.
That's okay. I love it. It's entertainment. It's keeping me, you know,
All right. Elliot's got a new assignment.
Well, I've got an. Okay. I'm going to give you three options. I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Oh.
I'll tell you what they are.
Genres. You're going to give her a choice
of three genres.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so.
I might need my muse to help me here.
Okay, so.
I'm going to grab my glass.
I'm wondering if you've already seen one of these, but we'll see. There's TV war and politics. Okay. TV shows, and this would be actually an animated show. Okay. And, Western.
A Western?
Western.
Gosh. Oh, don't make me pick.
I know, this is tough.
Can somebody pick for me?
You want to pick a Western?
I pick a Western.
This is the one that jumped to me because it's been all the talk right now on social media, but it's the new series on Netflix called Godless.
Godless. I knew you were going to say that. I put it on my list last week.
It's dark.
A rough show. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm just going to say right now, the opening, you can't write a better mysterious, like, oh my God, what's going to happen sort of an opening. Just want to say that right now.
Okay.
I was like. Yeah,
need to channel my muse for this one.
Do you like Westerns?
Oh yeah, some of them I think are fantastic. Westworld. What'd you think of Westworld?
I loved Westworld. Yes, that one's great. Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yes, but yeah. I like that.
Well, that
a lot,
one's rough
so
too.
Maybe I'll love this.
Yeah, that one's.
Well, here you know what we can do then, since she's already seen Westworld. In a few weeks, we should ask what she, you know, kind of thinking back on Westworld, because a lot of people are watching Westworld too.
Westworld,
yes,
yeah.
You'll be prepared. Okay. Yeah, so that'll save you one. Okay. You don't have to binge watch during over Christmas. But Godless, and it stars the woman who starred in Downton Abbey, also a star from Jackie's in the series. Sam Waterston's in the series. It's It's dark. I mean, it's a lot more along the lines of Unforgiven,
right?
I would say.
Now,
in some ways.
Now, if you really need to clear your palate, okay, because it is the holiday, and you think Godless is, this is a bit much for me, the second season of The Crown just went up on Netflix, too. And that's more, you know.
Well, let's assign The Crown later, because I think
save that for the week after.
There you go. All right. I like it. Susan, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Is there anything you want to make sure our listeners know about what's going on at Dannenberger Family Vineyards?
Well, our wine club is up and running, and we're running a sale online as well as here. It's buy one bottle and get the second one half off.
Oh, there you go. Buy one, get one half off at DFV Wines.
And cases are 25% off right now. It's crazy.
Excellent. Susan, I look forward to seeing you next week. Enjoy your assignment. Don't feel like you have to watch every episode, because I'm like three in and I'm like, wow, I need to pace myself a little bit on this one. So I might wait and see what wine you pair with it. Susan, we will see you next week. Thank you so much. Lovely as always. Thank you. It's dfvwines.com. And follow her on social media, DFV Wines. Have a great night and see you next week. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Elliot, you know, these days, I'm too tired to even freak out. I'm not freaking out anymore. It's just kind of like, oh, look, that's happening.
I had a security blanket, but it was snatched away from me, so I don't care anymore.
You know what you can do to replace that weird Dave Lundy blanket? I don't even know why you are dreaming of Dave Lundy being your political security blanket. It's all very strange.
I'm very disturbed by this story. I just want to tell you.
Can I offer a replacement idea?
Sure.
I highly recommend an electric blanket, or as my husband calls it, the dead baby harp seal on my body every night. It's very enjoyable. Is there anything going on? You guys look concerned.
No. I'm concerned being in Elliot's dream. Because when I was in his dream, I was concerned that I was there. So,
well,
you know.
You do remember not being there, correct?
We'll yes.
See how okay, my good. Subconscious works, because I have a feeling you're going to be replaced by a dead baby harp seal.
Yeah. So. I cannot recommend the dead baby harp seal experience more.
Right.
I do sometimes wake up feeling like I have dysentery. Or malaria. Just I got a fever. I feel like I'm in a hot climb.
That's every Friday night for me during this segment. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I can see that as well. But it is comforting when it's very cold. Getting under your electric blanket is very soothing. But in order to ease us into Freak Out Friday, we do our music Fridays. We've moved it from Mondays to Fridays so we can sort of intersperse our conversations about what's going on around the world with some lovely live music from performers in studio. And tonight we are thrilled to welcome in studio Mike Vinopal, and here he is live playing Twig.
old things can be quite difficult. Like letting go and living in the present can be impossible. Yeah, this may be your personal nightmare, but you don't know. Something different, new love reborn in new form. Yeah, this may be your personal nightmare, but you don't know. You don't know how good exactly you got it. You don't know.
The wonderful music from Mike Venopel. We'll find out more about him and where he'll be appearing when we come back in a little bit. We have to first catch up briefly before we go to the break. We have in studio with us Elliot Serrano riding Sidecar. And see, Elliot, we're breaking it up pretty well tonight between politics and music and wine and television. And now it's back to everything else. We have Dave Lundy in studio with us, the president of Aileron Communications and political strategist. Consultant, or are you looking at me like you're worried about how I might say other things?
No, not at all. I guess tonight, since you know one of my guys was in studio, I guess I gotta say, sure, political consultant. Yeah,
political consultant.
Just for tonight.
Yeah. That's, and he's also a regular on Justin Kaufman's show, as well as Beyond the Beltway, and all different kinds of appearances and you know consulting, contributing. We also have contributing tonight Mike Lieber, who is a legal expert. And well, how else would you like me to introduce you to folks? Just so I can, let me write it down.
And just an all around gadabout.
All around, you're my first all around gadabout, just yes. So you know. All
gadabout. What gadabout. Is a gadabout?
You know, I don't even
a know it all? Is that like a know it all? Is that
nah,
a...
it's just somebody who goes around and just does
gads?
Crazy stuff. I
gads.
Guess.
All right, yeah. Gads. When we were last all together, at least Dave and well no, just me and you. Dave, everybody else has abandoned us. Ken has not. He's doing other things. Eric.
Well, Ken has a really good excuse.
Okay, he does.
He's currently chaperoning a girl's birthday party with
slumber
eight,
party?
9 year old girls.
Is this the slumber party he's doing?
Girls? Yeah.
And he was trying to decide if he was going to divide them up into two groups, which sounded for sleepover purposes, which sounded very treacherous.
Yeah, I think he was going to do like the Sharks and the Jets from West Side Story and reenact. No, with knives or I don't know.
You never want to separate the girls. Yeah. You want to keep them in all one room, be able to keep track of them. Okay, since we were all last here talking about Freak Out Friday, the Senate voted on their tax cuts and jobs incentives bill. We heard that live. We were broadcasting it actually. And in the days that have followed, there is now an effort to mash up the House of Representatives and the Senate plan, the tax plan. Now a lot more is coming to light. I mean, we already knew about like tax savings for people who have jet fuel. One of the things I believe that is so bizarre is giving fetuses a social security number. Because I know that it's under the guise of so they can start a college fund. But what a strange door to kick open, I guess. Is the only way I can think of. It just seems like a strange place to stake out territory in a tax bill.
But it's look, the Republicans are trying to find any way, shape, or form to kill choice in this country. And so they've been trying to define a fetus as a person. There is the personhood bill that basically says life begins at conception, and you're and they do it every way possible. Usually it gets defeated, and here they're trying to backdoor it, kind of sneak it under the rug into a tax bill.
Are there feasibly other things that this could open for if we assign fetuses a social security number? I mean, I guess a simple question is for anybody, should we assign fetuses a social security number? 312-981-7200. I think it's a very simple question. Should a fetus have a social security number? Because why do you have a social security number? It's not because you're alive. It's because you want your social security, hence its name.
I think if really what they're trying to do with what Dave is suggesting and treat them as people, I think what they would have them what they would give them is the kind of the corporate tax ID number, the EIN.
Right.
Because then they could be corporations, and we know that corporations are people. So
I would
boom.
Rather have my fetus be a corporation.
Right. Well, and then you could write off corporation... the taxes related to the pregnancy.
Oh, see, I don't know. I don't think they thought this all the way through.
Yeah.
They should have gone for EIN numbers. It's absolutely accurate. I think you're right. Yeah.
But if they have a social security number, I guess the question is, at what point? How much does the fetus have to earn before you give
Social Security?
That embryo or fetus a social security number?
And why only fetuses? Why can't it be the embryo? Like all my eggs. Like I lose an egg every month.
Right.
So can I give each... Right. Sorry,
well,
Elliot.
And what about my sperm?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, unfortunately...
I think we need to tag every sperm and give it an EIN. Well,
the numbers, it would be, you know, instead of a 10-digit number, it would have to be like 120 digits.
Yeah.
Number.
Right. Well,
and
you know every
like,
sperm is sacred.
Yes.
Right.
That's why it doesn't belong in a sock. More for this on 720 WGN.
Freaking out, man. You are freaking out.
Don't freak out yet. Man, you know why? Because we're going to play some more live music. Oh, well, I'm not going to play more live music. Our incredible musician, our guest tonight, Mike Vinopal with Local Motive Band. You can go to localmotiveband.com. Tomorrow night, they'll be appearing in Rogers Park at the Heartland Cafe. And on New Year's Eve, they'll be at Uncommon Ground on Devon Avenue. But right now, he's in studio playing Sam Cookbook.
One has not been recorded yet. This is special for you guys.
Keep you smiling, oh my baby. You found purpose to keep you going, oh my baby. You got rhythm to keep you dancing. Whoa, it's been a long time coming. I gotta quote it. I gotta quote from the Sam Cookbook. Gotta quote, gotta cook, gotta quote, gotta cook from the Sam Cookbook. Ooh, it's been a long time. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. I gotta quote. Gotta quote, gotta cook from the Sam Cookbook, y'all. Ooh, been a
Gotta quote, gotta quote, gotta cook from the Sam Cooke book. In all its glory, you keep it shining. If I got to shine it, I'm gonna do it. Oh, my baby, you've got rhythm to keep you dancing. Whoa, it's been a long time coming. I got a quote, gotta cook, gotta quote, gotta cook from the Sam Cooke book. Ooh, it's been a long time. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. Gotta quote, gotta cook from the Sam Cooke book. Been a long time coming.
Mike Vinopal from Local Motion Band. You can go to localmotionband.com. Find out more about their schedule, upcoming appearances, in Local Motive. I should probably read these things before. Local Motive. Right. Local Motive with a V.com. They are appearing tomorrow night in Rogers Park at the Heartland Cafe and on New Year's Eve at Uncommon Ground on Devon Avenue. Live tonight in studio. Again, that was Sam Cooke book. Featuring Mike Vinopal in the studio. We have in studio with us tonight Elliot Serrano, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy,
hey.
Mike Lieber, all in studio. You're all on Facebook Live now. I might keep the camera on.
Hi, Facebook
Eric.
Live.
Oh, boy.
No, Eric is joining us.
This is for the lawsuit, right?
I don't know. Eric is joining us live after attending a holiday luncheon. I want people to note the time. It's now 12:40 in the morning, so I'm guessing lunch was about 12 hours ago.
Let's be clear.
Okay.
I had a luncheon, and then I had a nice dinner.
Did you wear the velvet tuxedo to the luncheon as well?
I did not.
Oh. So you had time after the holiday.
I had a very nice pinstripe suit on for the lunch.
And then the day progressed.
We've got the evening velvet.
I do feel a little bit underdressed, Elliot. Don't you a little bit?
You know, it's funny. I have a velvet jacket like that. Had I known that was
going to be
really?
The dress
code.
Do you
tonight.
Really? Yeah. You know what?
Had I known that was going to be the dress code. It's a purple velvet jacket.
We
should have.
I
coordinate.
I wish I'd coordinated.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
And you said it was okay. Purple.
You know, here's the thing.
It could have been a nice purple rain.
Hold on, Eric. Since I know
I'm a huge fan of Prince.
I know I'm going to get an honest answer from you right now.
You will. You will. There's no.
Yes.
No chance you won't.
Okay.
Dave disowned me over Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, right. Okay. So hold on, Eric. Hold on. This is important conversation okay. Now, Roger Badish is up in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And I feel I have an idea of where Roger Badish stands.
I'm trying to pick up my jaw.
Yeah. Now, do you need headphones? Let's make sure that Eric also, you have headphones right there in front of you. Mike Lieber joining us in studio only, I think, for the second or third time on our panel.
I think third time, yeah.
All right. Are you pleasure a fan of here. The Star Wars series?
I am, and I do have a little bit of a spoiler because I know some people who've been working on episode 9.
Mm-hmm. You're killing me.
I shouldn't say this on
okay
air.
No. 7 second delay stop
no, don't.
Okay
but here's my question.
Jar Jar is Snoke,
Jar Jar turns out to be like the hero of the entire universe.
Sure.
That's what they tell me.
Let's start with this first. I think that and one of the reasons that we're grateful that you are a fan of the Star Wars series is that one of our other regular panelists every Friday night is Ken Jakubowski, who has never ever seen Star Wars. So
crazy.
I have a huge issue with that because
yes.
Every time we do a what's that from,
we can't do Star Wars.
Ken says,
it's from Star Wars.
And it'll be a scene from like Casablanca. And we're like, dude, it's.
and I try hard to ruin it.
Yes.
With a French accent, even though it should be German.
That was a lot of fun.
I mean,
well, here's my question. Here's my question to all of you, having all seen Star Wars. To our friend Ken, do you, Mike, say that he should start with episode 4, or does he start with episode 1?
No, you got to start with episode 4, because the thing that makes it really awesome, and I remember learning this phrase in high school English, the Latin phrase in medias res, like starting in the midst of things. Yeah.
Medias res.
In medias res, starting in the midst of things. And that's like the most powerful way to tell a dramatic story, where you start in the middle and then you flash back to the beginning and then you come through the middle and past, and it like
kind of like The Godfather.
Ooh.
Yes.
Which was on this week.
Which is a movie that somebody in this panel has never seen all the way through.
Really?
Dude, seriously?
Oh my God.
What is up with that?
I know. I'm sorry.
Between
you
and Jacob
House,
let's stay on one iconic film at a time, shall we? Let's live in Star Wars for a little bit. Dave Lundy, do you agree? Do you start with episode 4 or episode 1 for Star Wars?
Oh, there's no question. Okay. If you start with episode 1, you'll never see episode anything else.
Okay.
Episode 1, Phantom Menace, is one of the worst big budget movies of all time.
Wow.
I agree.
Okay, so you agree with that. Now,
I agree.
Roger Badish up in our newsroom, I think that you might have a conflicting answer to this.
We've discussed this before. I have viewed the movies in both orders, both in chronological order and in order of release. And I stand by my guns that to see it in chronological order, after all of them have been released, except for the last one, of course, it gives a completely different perspective to the entire storyline than it did the way they were released that we saw it in. Now, are there some parts of the storyline that I find completely obnoxious and ridiculous?
And what would one of those things be?
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, why do we have to have a world in water? Why do we have to have a world in water? Seriously, please.
Okay.
I know Sunday cartoon shows that made more sense than that whole sequence.
Wow.
So, but Roger, I have a question for you, because you're saying this, which would suggest that you actually watched Phantom Menace more than once. Were you paid to do that, or was there a gun to your head?
Not at all. From a historical perspective.
It was a very scholarly
background
approach.
From a wanting to get more background to understand better the future episodes. I did watch Phantom Menace several times.
Oh my God.
And I am not passing judgment on it. I'm just taking it as a historical document.
So were you getting your PhD in midichlorians?
Yes, actually I was.
Okay.
Which only
come
makes
on
sense
now.
To people who saw that first movie.
You should see what my new iPhone measures.
Elliot,
now turn our attention to the Star Wars expert on the panel.
Mises supposed
Elliot has
is
a doctorate
about to say nonsense.
What this entire panel does not realize is I have Jedi mind tricked them into turning this political segment into Star Wars talk.
Oh, hell no.
Yes. I did it.
Oh, hell no.
I got the last laugh on you.
Mesa thinks the politics in Star Wars was stupid.
Okay.
Well, the politics, what? Current politics.
Fair enough.
What
would the
Imperial Senate think about this?
Yeah, really.
Elliot, so you posted on your Facebook page that a opinion that you hold closely and regard as an important...
Jar Jar Binks deserves respect, not derision. Why? For two reasons. One, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go down fighting on this one. Of the prequels, Phantom Menace is the best of the three.
Oh, my God.
Best of the three movies. Why? Because it actually accomplishes what it set out to do, which is establish the story.
And then, I will never be in your dream again.
Hey, recording my time. Okay? Now.
Go ahead and continue, Elliot.
I love it. I will turn your mics off.
You tell me.
You know what?
Second, you know
what, like, second.
I love Elliot.
Thank you.
Reclaiming my time.
Okay.
Booyah.
For once, the Republican's on my side. Wow.
He's high-fiving you. He'll leave him hanging. This is awkward. It's a bipartisan high-five.
We got a touch. Come on.
We did an E.T. here.
That's how so many people are in trouble right now. Go ahead.
And then finally, without Jar Jar Binks, you do not have Gollum. You do not have the current Planet of the Apes. That motion capture technology that George Lucas originated in The Phantom Menace with Jar Jar Binks led to all these other advances that we see in cinema now. So thank you, Jar Jar, is what you should all be saying.
So you're...
Thank you. And the hushed silence goes over the crowd.
So I'm trying to find a to find a metaphor and or analogy to having to go through something really horrible in order for other wonderful things to happen. And I'm not
Elliot Serrano.
I'll give you the analogy.
What's the analogy?
Dreaming about Dave Lundy, and then later on, him
I don't
want to
do that. I don't want to do that.
No,
we break the record here.
Let me. I have to find an analogy that's like this.
How about this? Throwing up is really unpleasant. That's kind of like Jar Jar Binks, but then you feel great afterwards. So Jar Jar Binks is vomit.
Wow.
No, the process is vomiting.
Where's that bottle? Promise. Yeah, but no, that doesn't work because I didn't feel good after watching Jar Jar Binks. I felt like I wanted to vomit.
Misa thinking you hating.
Misa, suppose you're correct.
But don't you feel good knowing that you're not going to have to see him until episode 9?
He's not in episode 9. Although, actually, I have a theory.
Is it kind of like being circumcised? Right? So
whoa! Hey!
More
wait
for this
a
on
minute.
720 WGN.
Are you one of the gazillions of people that need white noise to sleep? Well, then do we have a gift idea for you. Here's a teaser. It fits in your hand.
What?
And it's just one of the many holiday stocking stuffers we're featuring on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Find out more with me, Lou Manfredini, from 7 to 10 a.m. on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I'm Steve Cochran.
And this is John Williams, and we've got a question. Is your home taking too long to sell?
Hey, been there. Here's your advice. Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity.
You set a price and deadline, and if your home isn't sold, Amy can buy your home.
Or if you prefer, Amy has a property management company that can help you rent your home, and there's no obligation. If Amy doesn't do her job, you're out of the contract. It's done.
Jerry and Sue are getting ready to tap into their 401k to start covering their mortgage, but they called Amy, who went over selling, renting, short sale, deed in lieu, and foreclosure options, and they were able to sell their home quickly and didn't forfeit any of their 401k.
Amazing. Amy works 8 counties in Chicagoland, all over the area. She probably already has a buyer for your home, so don't wait. Call the only agent I'm recommending. It's Amy Kite. Call her today at 847-877-9881.
Or online at amywillsellyourhome.com.
Get the absolute perfect gift for the holidays without the malls, lines, and crowds. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get our family gift pack when you visit omahasteaks.com and enter our code BILL in the search bar. Keep in mind, that's 75% off. Now, the package I received was huge and had all my favorites just in time for the holidays. The best part is this. Everybody who had it said, where did you get these incredible steaks? And the answer is Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is offering exclusive savings, but just for our listeners. Listen to everything you're going to receive, all for less than $50. Ready? 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 hamburgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning package, plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages for absolutely nothing. For free, go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code BILL in the search bar, and save 75% off. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit.
Rokan here. Let's face it, I'm a neat freak. When I moved into my new home, the first call I made was to Closet Works. Their designer came out and came up with the perfect closet for me. Everything has a place. No more clutter. Sleek, efficient, sexy. Dare I say sexy when describing a closet? I just did. Time to get your life organized. Closet Works has experienced designers and complimentary in-home design consultation. Call 1-800-4-CLOSET. 1-800, the number 4, closet.
Are your tires ready for winter? Do you feel like your car is slipping and sliding in the rain or snow? Hurry into Martin Tire and Auto in Rockford for a free tire evaluation. And while there, save up to $80 on select Hankook winter tires. Now through December 31st. Never halfway, Hankook Tire, where it's always performance season. Stop into Martin Tire and Auto in Rockford or call 815-399-3849 for all your tire needs.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We'll be right back.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, reining everything back in, or not. I'm not really sure how this is going to turn out. Elliot Serrano joined us. He's our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for more information and more of the writing that he does there. You can also follow him on Instagram and Twitter, Elliot Serrano. That's two T's, two R's.
Two L's.
Two L's and a cat.
And a cat.
Oh, wait.
I'm telling you, and the show that's going on when you're off the air really puts it really, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the new hemisphere.
How's that holiday party going for Sinbad?
Oh, yeah.
Sinbad's doing great. Oh, it's his birthday today.
What?
Yeah. He's 9 years old today.
Happy birthday to Sinbad.
Whoop, whoop. Everyone was wishing him a happy birthday on his Instagram and his Facebook page.
Aww.
So I will have a cake for him tomorrow.
Nice. That's so cool. Nice. Sinbad is a rescue cat.
Will he eat the cake?
It'll be a fish cake. It'll be like
Don't start, because when I go home and I have a birthday for our little puppy, it is completely insane. Like,
strippers? You bring strippers for the puppy?
I mean, I got to deal with all kinds of crazy nonsense for our little puppy.
What's your puppy's name?
Bella.
I've met Bella. There's a side of Eric Elk I did not know existed until the
now day. We know more about Eric.
Yeah, exactly.
And his velvet tuxedo.
And the velvet tuxedo.
It's good. It's
not all bad.
It's not bad. Not even a little bit bad. Nothing's bad. We're just amused.
Eric Elk.
You're
after
in a
dark.
Safe place here, Eric. You're in a safe place.
Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois.
When it comes to holidays, and it's all of a sudden, it's like, hey, we got to get a Christmas tree. We got to get a holiday tree.
Yes.
All right. Thank goodness for Dolly. Oh, dang.
What? Who's Dolly?
Dolly.
That awesome app.
That awesome app who delivers stuff for you. They show up with our holiday tree.
It could be a Christmas tree.
And okay. I'm told.
Or a Hanukkah bush.
I think he's intimidated by the Jewish guys sitting next to him.
That holiday tree does not live up to what we had last year. It's like 2 feet shorter and, man, what the heck?
By the way, I've gotten a message from Representative Sarah Feigenholz.
You know what? And I love me some.
Is it an intervention?
Sarah.
She sends her best and says she has a purple velvet jacket for me. So
there you go.
Yes,
we got to make it. A
you know what
night.
Though?
Yes,
Rep Sarah, you would match.
Yes,
you would match the host Patty. She's got an awesome velvet purple dress.
Velvet is one of my favorite fabrics.
That's velvet.
This is velvet. Yeah.
You want to pet my jacket though?
Oh my god. You have to stop saying that in public.
Me too.
Yes. Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications and political consultant. He also is a regular on Justin Kaufman's show. With Mike Lieber, a legal consultant and all-around gadabout is what he prefers.
You know, when you say legal consultant, it's
he's a lawyer.
It's a lawyer. In my head.
Yes. I'm a lawyer.
Why do we got to go there?
I'm a lawyer at Lieber Law Group.
Yes.
How do you say the word? Eponymously named? I don't even know how to pronounce that. Eponema name. Yeah. Incidentally, Eric.
Phenomenon.
I got to say this, Eric. You keep calling it. I'm Jewish, and you're calling it a holiday tree. Come on, dude. It's a Christmas tree.
Donald Trump Christmas is president,
tree.
And he said today in Alabama that people are now saying Merry Christmas because he gave them permission to.
And it's a Christmas tree.
Because they didn't say Merry Christmas before Donald Trump.
I got to go.
I'm out.
Actually, that's it. That was what got you out of here.
It's a Yule tree, which is
a pagan holiday.
It's pagan holiday.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not
exactly.
Really. There were no Christmas trees in Bethlehem. I mean, they didn't have that stuff.
No conifers in Bethlehem. That's actually true.
While we're talking about that region of the world, what do you guys think about having Israel as it's Jerusalem as the new center? Right? Is it designated?
David
and. Donald Trump has announced that Jerusalem is now where we're going to have an embassy, assigning it the location of the... what's the significance is what I'm asking you. Yes.
So first of all, Eric Elk, of course, turns to the Jew and says, David, what do you think? I think that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. It has
Correct.
Been. And so... And I have been there. And... And that all that having been said, and it's ridiculous that Israel is the only country on earth where its capital was not recognized by anybody else. Right. All that having been said, this was a stupid, stupid, stupid move that was done for selfish political purposes to throw red meat to the base.
In the sense that there wasn't any planning or forethought is what it seems to be in the aftermath in the weeks in the week that he's been meeting with security, you know, and the riots that are breaking out and what this signifies going forward, what it means globally, what it means politically in the region.
I think it was opposed by every country on earth other than Tuvalu, which is an island in the South Pacific.
Right, and it wasn't done to kind of move things forward in the peace process. He could have done it to move things forward. Dave's right. Jerusalem is the historical capital of Israel. I saw an article today that a poll in the early 2000s where Palestinians were polled about what Jerusalem means to them and what Israeli Jews, what it means to them, they said different things. They said, you know, these parts of Jerusalem are important to us. The Palestinians said that. Mm-hmm. And the Jews said, these parts are important to us. And the Old City, which is kind of right at the center, and the Temple Mount, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, those were important to everybody. So there's a solution. But the problem is Trump, the way he's handling it, isn't turning it into a solution. He's just turning it into more of a problem.
Let's wait for the news. 312-981-7200. What news of the week caught your attention? What has you, does anything keep you awake at night? We're not, like I said, I'm too tired. Nothing really freaks me out anymore because there's so much crazy going on.
Oh, there's so much
that
freaks me out.
What?
Jar Jar Brinks. That's what freaks me out.
All I know is that there are fetuses with Social Security numbers now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, join the conversation. This is your conversation. Don't hang back.
She wore blue velvet.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You can always follow us online, watch us on the live stream, WGNRadio.com. And you can get a glimpse of our guest, Eric Elk, who has who's left for the evening in his lovely velvet tuxedo. It was very nice. And we have more live music from Mike Vinopal, who will be appearing tonight with Local Motive Band. And they are appearing again at the Heartland Cafe in Rogers Park on New Year's Eve. They will be at Uncommon Ground on Devon Avenue. Go to localmotiveband.com for their entire schedule and more music from them. But right now he's live in studio, and here he is playing Symbiosis.
Just gonna say happy birthday to my girlfriend Erin Dunbar. She's probably at home, probably asleep. This one's for her, and this is the last song on our new record, Grams.
Everybody's lost. Everybody's losing. Everybody wants to find their soul companion, but it's harder in your dark times. You gotta let love from your soul shine. Oh, don't you know that I need you, and you need me too. That symbiosis, oh, symbiosis. Don't you know that I need you, and you to that symbiotic, oh, symbiotic, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do 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 do.
a friend's hand to help you, you steady back on dry land. Oh, don't you know that I need you and you need me too? That symbiosis. Don't you know that I need you and you need me too? That symbiotic, oh, symbiotic, yeah, yeah. If you want to sing along, come on. I need you, and you need me too. I just need you. I need you, and you need me too. If you can keep it going. I need you, and you need me too. Yeah, and I need you, and you need me too. We all gotta get found, yeah, when there's no one around. We all gotta get found when there's no one around. We all gotta get found when there's no one around. We all gotta get found, yeah, when there's no one around. Yeah, 'cause everybody's lost.
Finopal, he'll be appearing at Heartland Cafe in Rogers Park. Go to localmotiveband.com for their schedule. We also want to say hi to the rest of the band members. Is this updated? I don't want to say anyone's name that's not on the band anymore.
Well, basically, it's more of a collective these days.
It's a collective?
I pretty much am the band leader. We usually have the same horn players.
All right.
Will Hyatt on trombone. Matthew Seifert is one of the founding members. He plays trumpet and arranges a lot of the brass. But we've got some really excellent guest rhythm sections kind of rotating in and out. That's why there's so many musicians listed on the website.
We loved your music. The sound was phenomenal. So loved having you on for our Freak Out Friday. You kept us all in check emotionally, I think. You really helped things out.
Sing from your toes. Spread some joy.
That's right. You even got me to sing there at the end. I don't sing. New Year's Eve, they will be at Uncommon Ground on Devon Avenue. Again, go to localmotiveband.com for their schedule and find out more about this wonderful band. Thank you so much, Mike. Have a great night.
Thank you
for letting us freak out in front of you. Go buy a velvet jacket, will you?
I will.
We're in studio with Elliot Serrano, Dave Lundy, Mike Lieber. We are hanging out for our Freak Out Friday. There's a lot that happened this week. We've only gotten a couple things. I mean, here's the thing. We were on the air when the Senate's tax cuts and job incentives bill passed last Friday. In the meantime, President Trump has wants to go on record and put the embassy, the United States embassy in Jerusalem, identifying Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We can have long conversations about that. That I mean, I don't think most of us really know what the ramifications are. There are a lot of people I know, friends of mine, who think finally this is great. Other people are like, what the hell's going to happen next? We also have Roy Moore, who is pulling ahead in the polls in Alabama. Money going into that campaign from strange places. You see that the people who own Cinemark put over $13,500 into Roy Moore's campaign, which I thought was really interesting. So if you have thoughts one way or the other on that, the people from Cinemark believe that a an accused child molester should be in office rather than anybody else, apparently, if, as long as they're not liberal. If yeah.
Yeah, but Patty, I was watching a focus group that Frank Luntz had tonight, and there were 10 conservative Republicans in Alabama, and they said that every single one of them said that all 9 accusers were paid.
They were paid.
They were paid. And that besides, what's the problem? One of them said, well, my mom was 13 when she got married to my dad, and she was a mother by 15.
Had a listener a couple weeks ago who texted in that their mother or grandmother had been in Montana, had started dating when she was 14, married by 15. And that's not what we're talking about, though. We're talking about somebody who is being accused of predatory behavior. And actually, in one account, and this is the woman who altered the yearbook inscription. She added notations to it. The headlines today came out saying that she forged it. It was not a forgery.
Nope. Right.
She had added notes to it. And that's something else that it doesn't matter now because it's out there as a forgery rather than she had put notes under it. And if anything, I think her notes, if you look at it, then actually make it seem like, oh, the handwriting that is the part that's Roy Moore's is different than her notes. So she didn't forge it.
She just put the date.
Yeah.
And DA.
And remember, the important thing with that, and then there's the other woman who has the card from him, is these are two women who he claims he never met.
He never met. Right.
So it's proof that he's a liar. So if he's lying about never meeting them, what else is he lying about?
So many things to talk about.
But the significance of this one, though, is not that a child molester is about to be elected to the U.S. Senate. That's bad. It's that the president of the United States has fully and completely endorsed him.
Right.
And that the Republican National Committee, the actual Republican Party, is putting millions of dollars into that race to elect the child molester.
Millions of people voted for the accused sexual harasser and predator, President Trump.
Yes.
So I don't, you know, and there are distinctions, by the way, if we wanted to go down this path of talking about the difference between Al Franken, Roy Moore, Donald Trump, we could go through all those accusations and see what the differences are. Right. And the nuances, there is a nuance to this, and there is, I think there's holy crap. That wasn't me, was it? I didn't do that. That seemed like
that was Eric.
That was no. I think that's the panel behind No, that was not Eric. No. We're good. But there are distinct differences. Again, I posted this question on my Facebook page. I have been sexually assaulted. I have been. There is a difference between the people who have grabbed my ass and who have forcefully penetrated me. I'm sorry if that's uncomfortable for people, but I will say that exactly that way. There is a significant difference, and then there are all the other things in between. Saying things to me that are so sexually inappropriate, touching me in ways that are not invited nor welcomed. But there is a wide range of all of those things and being put in a position where I'm worried about my safety. And so I think that when you and I have had these conversations privately on Facebook, we've direct messaged each other, and I said that there is such a wide range of things, and that's why the Al Franken thing made me concerned that we are no longer able to have that conversation. We are not able to have the conversation about the distinctions between sexual assault and being inappropriate, right?
Yes, the word of the day is conflation.
Conflation, right.
Because what really all of these things are being conflated into one general category.
Right.
And that's a problem. But, you know, and I hear you about Al Franken. I don't strongly disagree with you. I didn't come out with the position that I think he should resign comfortably.
Right.
Partially because I think he's been a terrific senator. Partially because I think this whole thing really was driven by, you know, the right wing to try to get Al Franken, and they got him. But at the same time, I feel like the moment that we are in just doesn't allow us to give people like Al Franken the benefit of the doubt to say, yeah, okay, you know,
Wow. You're
okay.
Wow. I think that's an incredible thing right there. And I don't think you're wrong as far as where we are, that we're not able to give someone the benefit of the doubt.
And there are going to be enough people who say, well, how can you be going, how can you Democrats be attacking Roy Moore and Donald Trump for the things that they've said and
right.
done, if you're willing to give a pass to a guy who's in your party.
Right.
And I get that right. there's absolutely a difference between, you know, putting your hand around somebody versus, you know, forcing somebody into your car who's a 14-year-old.
Right.
And, you know, inappropriately touching her when you're a 30-something-year-old.
completely different. But enough people won't get that. They'll say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that's it.
I still got to find out what a gander is. I wonder if he hangs around with a gadabout. More after this on 720 WGN. Can't touch this. You're listening, right? Is that what song that is? I don't know. I don't always know.
No, that's a super freak.
Oh, I'm a super freak. You're a super freak. I mean, I'm a super freak.
Super freak.
I'm not super freaking out.
You're both super freaky.
The news is super freaky. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Please check out our Facebook page, Patty V Show. You can also find all of our podcasts there. You can scroll down if you miss the rest of this show tonight. Maybe you're getting out of the car or you're about to drift off to sleep.
That would not be possible for me, though.
If you're listening to this,
there are days
right now
when I will be listening to the show, and I'll be like, no, I can't. And suddenly my insomnia kicks in.
Oh man, yeah. I keep you awake.
Yeah, you do. And it's funny because again, it's the whole I know the show that happens when it's in commercial.
Oh man, when we're
sometimes rivals a show that's on the air.
It's a true story. That's Elliot Serrano, our chief gig officer. We also have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, and Mike Lieber of Lieber Law
Group.
Group.
Yes.
That's the word I gotta write
that
down.
He's a gadabout.
And he has a group.
He likes all the G words, including gander. Because it's gooses.
The gander's a female goose.
But can I just say, by the way, I went to go see my son do improv comedy tonight.
Nice.
And
really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow.
By the way, congratulations to your son on an audition that he had and nailed it.
So excited.
What's the part is he playing?
He is playing the genie in Aladdin, in the musical Aladdin.
How fun.
And this was his first ever audition. I've been trying to get him to audition. I've been trying to get him into theater and musical theater for literally years.
Yeah.
But he loved sports.
Sure.
But unfortunately, because he's my son, he's not that good at sports. And so... I mean, he works hard. He tries hard, but you know, it's not his thing. And,
right.
And he's got such an amazing personality, and I always knew he'd be phenomenal. And you, I think you were at one of the Lundy lunches where he got up in front of a room full of 60 strangers.
He thanked me for what I do, and I was like, "Thank you, young man. I don't know what you're talking about, but he thanked me for my work."
He got up in front of a room full of 60 strangers, and spouted his political opinions, and had absolutely was no shyness, no public speaking fear whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his personality. So he finally decided he was going to try out for this musical, and he got the lead.
That's
I mean,
wonderful.
I'm just, he's so excited.
That's wonderful. Congratulations to him.
Thank you.
And you and I have talked many times on this show, and Elliot has had to sit through legislators going at it in regards to politics in the state of Illinois. Mike Lieber's been here for one of those conversations as well. In the last couple of weeks, some interesting things have fallen into the governor's lap. One, he was named the worst Republican governor in the country by the National Review. And then this week, I guess it's in response to that piece, he said he was never in control, has never been running the state. And
said, I'm not in charge.
I'm not in charge.
I'm not in charge.
He pulled the reverse Al Haig.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. The anti-Haig.
The anti-Haig.
Yes.
And I'm not in charge. I mean, yes, you're dealing with a supermajority on the other side, a very powerful speaker, but you're still the governor.
Yeah.
You know.
There's still
governor has a lot of power.
Well, that's how we ended up in an impasse for 3 years with a budget impasse. I mean, if he had no power, that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Right. If he's not in charge, then the bills, all those budgets would have just gone through. So it doesn't make any sense.
And when we finally overrode his intransigence, it was because it was a bipartisan majority that overrode him.
It was not just Democrats.
15 Republicans.
And by the way, what I mean is that it makes no sense to me. Partly because he ran on this campaign that he would be able to make things happen despite Michael Madigan. And all he has done for 3 years is gripe about Michael Madigan.
And even
he's obsessed with him.
And even the Chicago Tribune, the building we're in,
yes.
The Chicago Tribune editorial board, which could not be more pro-Rauner.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more pro-Rauner than his wife. and the Chicago Tribune editorial board said, enough already. Stop your griping. Tell us what you can do, not what you can't do.
Because
if all you're going to do is say, I can't do it, I'm not in charge, then why are you governor?
Yeah.
Right. And
they should resign.
What is his basis for running again?
Right.
It's not like I'm going to get Madigan out. Spoiler alert. Madigan is going to get reelected in his district.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to be there. He's still going to have all the same power that he has a year from now than he's got now.
And he might have a bigger majority than he does now.
He might.
So, and Jeannie, go ahead. Were you going to say, Mike?
How does this, what is the calculus for Bruce Rauner in saying that? How does it somehow, you know, what is his reason for being at this point?
And Representative Jeannie Ives, who is running on the Republican ticket, it'll be interesting to see how some of the things that she has said, the, some of the things even tweeted out. Her tweets say things like, teachers are, this is Representative Jeannie Ives, teachers are the least courageous group I know. That's, she's tweeted that out. That is, she wants, and when talking about child care, she wanted to withhold payment to certain individuals in the state, saying, well, we don't even know who these babies' daddies are, basically saying these women are sluts, so why should we pay for their child care? I mean, she stood up in front of, and that video is available on YouTube.
Yeah, well, look, the Jeannie Ives' Greatest Hits is a very long collection. Right. She is... she loathes gays and lesbians, and she has said some of those vile things about lesbian and gay parents on the floor when her one of her House colleagues, my good friend Representative Kelly Cassidy, is a lesbian in a committed lesbian relationship with three terrific kids, and she just says the most awful things. And she's running as the alternative to Bruce Rauner. And Bruce Rauner is trying to ignore her. Today, he was asked repeatedly whether he would debate her because she keeps challenging him, and he just ignored the question.
Here you go. Jeannie Ives says gay couples are trying to weasel their way into acceptability. Weasels.
Right. Weasel. Yes.
More after this on 720 WGN. This should go well. It's going to be interesting.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
That's right, it's time for What's That From. When you know what movie we are reading a scene from, give us a call at 312-981-7200 and you will win a gift card from Apt Electronics. 312-981-7200. So again, I want to introduce you to our thespians this evening. We have in studio Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, Dave Lundy, president of Aileron Communications, Mike Lieber of the Lieber Law Group. And we have Michael Heidemann. Are you in our scene tonight?
I will be running the sound effects tonight.
Our sound effects expert will be Mike Heidemann behind the glass and answering your calls when you know the answer to What's That From. And our narrator this evening, once again, the incredibly talented, the incredibly kind and generous, the astoundingly wonderful Roger Badish.
Wow, I'm done already.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Okay, take it away, sir.
Snoopy was delighted to play the roles of all the different animals from... To Lucy goes to Linus, hands him a script.
Memorize these lines so you can recite them on cue.
Linus hugs blanket tight.
This is ridiculous. I can't memorize something like this so quickly. Why should I be put through such agony? Give me one good reason why I should have to memorize this.
Lucy mechanically makes a fist.
I'll give you five good reasons. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five.
Those are good reasons. Christmas is not only getting too commercial, it's getting too dangerous.
Lucy frowns.
And get rid of that stupid blanket. What's a Christmas shepherd going to look like holding a stupid blanket like that?
All right, let's have it quiet. Places, everybody. Schroeder sets the mood. Schroeder, set the mood for the first scene.
Schroeder begins to play the piano, and the cast dances.
Cut, cut, cut. It's all wrong. Let's rehearse another scene instead.
No one seemed to be able to concentrate.
Pigpen's dust was ruining the style of my naturally curly hair.
Sally watches Linus intently, rests head on shoulder occasionally.
Isn't he the cutest thing?
We want a lunch break.
Good grief. There's no time for foolishness. Let's take it from the top again.
Schroeder plays piano and everyone dances.
What's the matter? Don't you think it's great?
Charlie shakes his head.
Look, let's face it. We all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket. It's ruined by a big Eastern syndicate, you know.
Well, this is one play that's not going to be commercial. What our play needs is the proper Christmas mood. We need a Christmas tree.
Lucy claps with excitement.
Hey, holiday, perhaps a tree, a great big shiny aluminum Christmas tree. That's it. Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find. Maybe paint it pink.
Charlie Brown left Lucy in charge of rehearsal and set out with Linus to find the perfect tree for their play. Charlie and Linus enter the tree lot, go to small green pine tree on a simple wooden stand.
Gee, I didn't know they still made wooden Christmas trees.
This one seems to need a home.
I don't know. Remember what Lucy said? This doesn't seem to fit the modern spirit.
I don't care. We'll decorate it, and it will be just right for our play. Besides, I think it needs me.
Charlie and Linus return to the auditorium and place the tree on the piano.
We're back!
All the children gather around the piano.
Boy, are you a stupid, Charlie Brown. You're supposed to get a good tree. You can't even tell a good tree from a poor tree.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. You've been dumb before, but this time you bit it.
All the children laugh and leave. Charlie is alone by the piano, and Linus approaches.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't really know what Christmas is about. Isn't there anyone who understands what Christmas is all about?
Sure, I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Linus walks to the center of the stage, and a spotlight shines on him.
And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Linus picks up his blanket and walks back to the piano.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Charlie picks up the tree and smiles and walks outside and then stares at the sky.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I'll take this little tree home and I'll decorate it, and I'll show them it really will work in our play.
He walks home and finds Snoopy's doghouse with prize on it. He grabs an ornament from the house and puts it on the tree, and the tree bends. Charlie is sad.
I killed it! Everything I touch gets ruined.
He walks away from the tree, slouching. But others circle the tree. Linus straightens the branch.
I never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love.
The children look at the doghouse and then at the tree. And then they take the doghouse decorations and put it on the tree.
Oh, sorry. Charlie Brown is a blockhead, but he did get a nice tree.
The children circle the tree and begin to hum, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
What's going on here?
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Charlie looks at the tree and smiles, his little tree that no one had wanted, and he could hardly believe his eyes. His friends' efforts had transformed it into something truly special. And everyone sang.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join in the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Surrounded by his friends, Charlie Brown realized Linus had been right about the true meaning of Christmas. This was the Christmas spirit he had been looking for all along. At last, the season seemed 100 times brighter. And for Charlie Brown, it was truly the merriest Christmas ever.
I don't know how anyone can.
That's a tough one.
I just appreciate that most of our listeners who were calling in to guess, most of them hung on through the Christmas Carol.
I like how we changed all the names.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So no one could guess.
For Pigpen, I was going to say Hog Hal. I was all excited. But since nobody else was changing names, I felt silly.
Well, I just appreciate that the majority of the parts in this play were played by Jews.
It was, yeah.
Hoi!
And of Jewish descent. So
Oi vey!
Yeah, such a deal.
So that was the South Park Christmas special, right?
Brian, tell us, what was that from, Brian?
That would be A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yay!
How did you get that?
Yes, what was the giveaway?
Was it so I'm right? That's that was a lucky guess.
Yes, yes. Could it be the narrator's first word, Snoopy?
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was the animal sounds and the clicking penguin noise.
I'm not sure why Lucy was getting whipped. I mean, Lucy
I really
takes a dramatic...
Sure until you...
Yes?
I wasn't sure until you sang the song at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that really drove it home for you.
Or drove the listeners away, one of the two.
One of the two. Well, Brian, we have a gift card for you from Apt Electronics that we love to send out to you. And I hope that you get a chance to stop out there and say hi to Steve Shapiro. Apt Electronics has been pleasing people since 1936. You can visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Brian, is the Charlie Brown Christmas movie one of your favorite things, the special every year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that we make sure that we watch as a family every year. It brings back memories of my childhood and makes new memories for my children as well.
Oh, I love it. Well, enjoy the holiday season. And again, say hi to Steve for us out there. Say, hold on the line. Michael will get your information and we'll send that card out to you. Have a great evening, Brian.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hey, Chris, what was your first? Did you know the movie? Did you have or the what that scene was from? Did you know, Chris?
Oh yes, I knew it right after the first word. I think
Snoopy.
So everyone's going with Snoopy.
It's my favorite Christmas special of all time.
Oh, I love that. Well, I because you were the second caller and you've been on hold, including through the Christmas.
And I'm calling all the way from Joe Davis County, clear over by Dubuque, Iowa.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice, up near Galena.
I listen to you guys every night. You're awesome.
Well, then I will give you a choice. Would you rather have a gift card from Apt Electronics or would you rather have a Lou Malnati's? Because I know either one of those, I mean, if you get a Lou Malnati's, they can ship a flash frozen pizza to you. Or,
you know what?
Yes.
Since I'm about 2.5 hours away, the Lou Malnati's would be awesome.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Absolutely. Hold on the line, and Michael will get your information and make sure we get that card out to you. Thank you so
Patty.
Much, Chris. Oh, we
Merry
appreciate
Christmas,
it.
Merry Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Lou Malnati's, oh, man, my favorite pizza. I just, it's so good. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Fine. Well, see, I like it so much. I got tongue-tied. I was very excited
your
for me.
Your mouth is watering.
I know. I'm like Pavlov's dog. I'm like, what?
Hey, when are we going to watch White Christmas?
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about coming in the studio because I have never seen White Christmas. Are we on next week? What's today is the 8th, so next week is the 15th. So I will be here next Friday.
Yes.
Let's see if we can get a television screen and watch it next Friday. The only hiccup there might be, and by the way, oh, you know what? This works because it has a military aspect to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I got a phone call from our friends. From the Marines, Sergeant Paraka called and asked if they could come in sometime and celebrate the holidays with us. So maybe we do Semper Film watching White Christmas upstairs in a conference room. We all hang out before the show next Friday. Mike, you're welcome to come and join us again.
Thank you.
I would not talk about it and not be like, come hang out and have some Lou Malnati's with us and watch a holiday movie. So let's try and aim for next Friday night. There you go. I love it.
Awesome. And Roger, what order are we going to watch White Christmas in? Are we going to watch it from the beginning or do we start in the middle?
Don't make me come down. Don't make me come down. Patty, you got your finger on that one button?
Which one? Hold on. Which one? What do you want?
You know which one.
A big ding dong.
Not that one. Go cats!
Go cats!
not.
No. Generator failure. Left engine oil pressure.
Oh boy.
Right engine oil pressure.
I'm sorry, what were you looking for?
Slap. I'm gonna come down and play my
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
Elliot, can you name that voice, by the way?
Last one?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, good for you!
Yeah, that's Christian Bale.
That's Christian Bale. Yelling on the set.
Oh, that was yelling on the set. Excellent.
No, it's Christian Bale doing his Jim Carrey impersonation.
It sounded right. Yeah.
I don't know what this does.
I no idea.
You don't have the dogs barking a Christmas carol?
Hey!
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
Why don't we
done.
Use that one more often?
I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
What was that?
There's a minute left on this one, too.
Patty's special sounds. Patty Vasquez. All right,
I got to clean up around here after that. Hold on.
Wow.
I don't know. It's... All right.
Bulldog Drummond.
312-981-7200. Give us a call. We're about to wind down, and it's time for Tell Me Something Good. I want to thank our listeners who called in. Carol, thank you so much for guessing what that was from. By the way, everyone tune in next Friday for our holiday spectacular. More about that when we come back on 720 WGN.